Ernest Holmes takes us in a journey. In this chapter is called In the Beginning. And he starts with a premise that I really like. I like intelligent people. And he says, well, if we want to discover what we believe in, why we believe it, and why this belief is reasonable, to believe in God. God is not a mystery. I say it's a mystery, but it's not. And the world wants something else, a symbol. So this morning, I'll invite you to do your own search and your own adventure and see what we find. Review what we believe in. I have a personal experience that is a little painful for me. Well, a lot painful for me because my father has always been my hero. We have such a wonderful relationship. And he was deeply spiritual and religious. But lately, I mean, he's 90 years old and he lost the compass. Suddenly, I mean, he's having like an Alzheimer thing, but it's called frontalization. So the front lobes, I mean, of the brain, they want to make you or your nice person, social behaviors and everything, they're gone. So he has become a very angry, dismissive, unhappy person. And it really has been hurting me so much. But the worst part is that he lost track. He doesn't want to go anywhere. Because he was very ill probably 3 years ago. I even took an emergency flight. Funny because when I called, the nurse told me maybe you won't see him. So I took a flight easy. So I packed my three things, went to the airport and there was no flight. So I needed to go from Washington, D.C., L.A., thank you very much, and then take the next flight to Mexico City. It took me something like 17 hours to get there. And when I arrived there, I mean, my father didn't make any happy face or anything. I stayed there for a week. He told me, I'm tired, respect me. So I sat in a little chair. He didn't talk to me for the whole week. So... And then since then, I mean, I think he made a decision he doesn't want to go. I mean, I have to respect his path. But one of the things that happened, he says, what happened with this faith, with this big faith that I know he taught me? He taught me the most incredible thing. He told me, don't believe anything anybody says. God is your father and he's a loving father. And he's there for you always. I cannot be with you forever and always. But God the Father is there. And everything that happened in my family, he says, no, don't even worry. God is the Father. God is a loving Father. So I said, what happened with God the Father? So, seeing that contrast to me, I said, I better make sure, or I will write something, or I will take something, so that, I mean, I don't know, I mean, to remind me, I mean, and it's very amazing, because I think when you die, it's just letting go, and just going into the universe and just embracing everything that it is. So that's why this talk is so important for me, because I will always want to review what I know and why I believe it. Mm-hmm. And what is the real reality? And I'm phrasing it badly. Real reality. Mm-hmm. But never mind. And so it says it's incredible, because I mean, Ernest Holmes states again that in the beginning there was only God, pure intelligence, absolute intelligence, only, no manifest universe, no planet in no visible form whatsoever, but life principle was there, because God is the life principle. And it's interesting because it says that Moses, I mean, put like a little story of the creation. Mm-hmm. And that's what we know about it. And it says in, when there was nothing, the Spirit of God moved into the waters. And I just Didn't you say that there was no water? But what it says is that spirit began to move. And when he moved, I mean, when spirits move, creates. But where did the spirit move? Upon what spirit moved? Since when this pattern came to be about? And of what this world, including ourselves, are we made of? And how all the manifestations came into being? So you have all your questions. What, when, what, mm-hmm. what means, how? And he starts describing what it really resonates, I mean, with our hearts and our souls. But I want you to invite you to do if it really rings, because that's part of it. You cannot go know God, I mean, by a book or something. It has to be from here, experiential, your own experience. So if we suppose that spirit is the life principle and the cause of all manifestation, then we need to suppose that God has substance upon itself. God is self-existent consciousness and self-existent substance. Spirit makes things out of itself by an act of consciousness, by self-perfection, perception, and self-knowing. What God knows is, and the Word of God is God's thought, God idea, and it comes from self-contemplation. Now that's very arid, right? But it's about self-contemplation. Very easy. We start with an easy thing. When you see yourself in a mirror, you are self-contemplating. And you say, well, I'm Peter, or I'm Connie, I'm David, I'm Judy. You recognize yourself in the mirror, right? Now, but the important thing is we recognize ourselves even if we are not in the mirror. You're driving. You're meeting a friend. Even you are being hurt or you are angry, you are self-contemplating and self-recognizing yourself. So God, the supreme intelligence, was conscious of itself, eternally conscious of itself, and this, and then desired to manifest in form, divine idea, and by the power of the law, by the power of its word, that is law, it started creation. God is not only a spirit, it is pure intelligence, but is also perfect and immutable law. When it speaks, the word comes law. Law must obey. Now, does God speak? Or God thinks? So, God's thoughts are the word. But the interesting thing to me is that God, the pure divine intelligence, is an endless being. So it's always creating. I told Connie one day I saw a wonderful program in TV. I don't know what I do without Nat Geo, because it's really, I mean, mind-blowing. And, I mean, they are discovering, I mean, these kind of fishes that they live, 15,000 feet above the sea level, and they are the weirdest creatures, and you see the transparent ones, and those worms that, I mean, they are 3 feet long, and that they live, I mean, in a temperatures of, 700 degrees and something like that. And I says, Connie, I don't think they were there before. I think God continues to create. We have not discovered. Maybe they were there forever. But who knows? We haven't seen them. So I'm not completely sure that God had finished the creation, I mean, already 7 million years or whatever, billion years ago. I don't know. Because it says that the principle says that God is eternal, and if God continues to have thoughts and divine ideas, it continues to create things. And I will tell you some interesting things, you will see. So, when the word speaks, the word becomes law, and law must obey. Interesting, law is mechanical, word is spontaneous. When the word became law in motion, the creation started. Word is the mold, law is the form. Many words, many forms. Individualized ideas of God. And I will go into that in a minute, okay? So many ideas. The word is permanent, and the word needs to perpetuate itself, so it's eternal. God is eternal, word is eternal, and the word is permanent, perpetuating itself. That's why the creation, God created something and disappeared. It perpetuates itself. The universe is mechanical. Plants and animal life are the creation of life. But God wanted to create a being to respond and understand him. What does it mean? Self-consciousness. And he wanted a real being that can have real life within himself, in the same nature of him, and this is man with the same nature of God. And that is what's really mind-blowing, because I know, and when I read this chapter I got the understanding that, think about a little bit, everything that we are in our lives is a product of self-contemplation. What job we have, where do we live, what car we have, whatever. What we think about ourselves is, and we can see it in everybody. I have a brother that, I mean, he is very much in the meditative state. He goes into Osho. But he decided that he's very bright, very, very bright. But he is Raul is number six. We are eight brothers. So he's, the competition with the big brothers is big time. I mean, it's a jungle there. So he decided that he was not going to go into money. He had the most incredible opportunity to make himself a triple millionaire. He's so bright. He did design an IT program competing with Microsoft. Gates called him, I mean, come and work for us, and he decided that he was not going to do that. He decided that he's full spirit. And full spirit, guess what? He got it. Now he lives in Playa del Carmen in front of Cancun, and he started establishing a meditative group or something like that, which I think, I mean, people go to Cancun not to meditate. They can do other kinds of meditations, but I mean, not the one that we do. But he decided to be poor, and he runs the most ugly, I mean, smelling gasoline van that you can imagine. Those kind of Volkswagen kind of box. I mean, I don't know how you call it, David. I mean, those kind of things. And he needs to go to the dentist immediately. I mean, I don't know if he's going to wear, I mean, dentures in when he's 30-something. He doesn't have any money. Guess what? Self-contemplation. What do you know? I mean, that's incredible. That's a big teacher for me. I have to tell you that I love him and I admire him immensely. Because he's really, I think he's my favorite brother. I mean, my soul and everything. We can talk about God 6 o'clock in the morning to 6 o'clock the next morning, and we don't stop. So it's amazing. But this is how he is, and forget about convincing anybody, okay? He decided that that's what he's going to be. So, um, So the self-contemplation, it really, really hits me very, very near to me. So God wanted to us to partake of the nature of His divinity. And that is a toughy one, because I don't know, I think that there are really levels of how much we accept this divinity. And especially being a Catholic, you will never be comparing yourself to God. I mean, that's a big sin. That is the sin of the angels. Okay, that is a sin. That's why they went to hell. That's why there's a devil and everything like that. So it took me a lot of years to understand it. But guess what? I started doing little compromises with myself. Okay, I'm the same essence and the same divinity as God is. I'm just a little drop in the ocean, and I'm a little spark of light, whatever it is. And finally, I mean, you're getting grasp, because it's a difficult truth to swallow. I don't know why we decided to be humble in that. This is not something good, but I don't know why we are humble. But anyhow, maybe we are humbled by this immense creation. But we don't know our power, and we don't know who we really are. See, I mean, God says that everything that He created is because He's self-conscious. Are we self-conscious? Who really are? So this is how amazing. And the good thing to me, it hit me like, oh, okay. So God, you are the great teacher. So, if your self-concentration created this, you gave me a little drop of your essence, I'm able to do and to create whatever I wish. What do we wish? Same things. Same things. Happiness, a good job, a good house, I mean, transportation, whatever we want. Good things. And I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you good things. Because when God created this man that has self-choice and is spontaneous also, that is not automatic, He gave dominion over less intelligent beings. And He said, I'll give you this power. He named things and will enjoy all things, and His life is full and complete if He's going to express My nature. Therefore, man has dominion, not power, but the power to have dominion. I'm sorry. Therefore, man has dominion, not power to govern, but the power to have dominion. And God saw that it was good. And Ernest Holm, I love this phrase that he says, how God, being goodness, cannot see other thing than good? It's amazing. I mean, this is wonderful. When God saw it was good, it's like when you do a cake. It doesn't matter if your cake is like this. You say it's good. Because it's your creation or whatever. You do beautiful things. Are you satisfied with your job every time you see it? No. Whatever is your creation. And there are gorgeous things. Look at this one. Isn't that gorgeous? So if we accept that creation is a continual manifestation of spirit, God is always creating. God is absolute intelligence and absolute consciousness, and spirit is the power that knows itself. So many thoughts, many things. And there is multiplicity, but there is also unity. Creation is always beginning but never ending. They will always be ending more creation, more forms. There will always be manifestation of divine ideas. And it says the invisible will be always manifesting in some plane. So I thought about these divine ideas. And I said, God, that interesting. So the elephant is a divine idea. The giraffe is another one. Spiders are another one. I mean, clouds are another divine idea. And then, I mean, I started thinking, and I said, so I am a divine idea. Mm-hmm. I am Pita, Latina, brown eyes, brown hair, whatever. How amazing and how great We are divine ideas. So I thought, well, okay. I mean, it was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said, well, I mean, I cannot go to sleep. I was too excited, and that's something that happens. I mean, when I go into, I usually try not to do meditating because sometimes I get so excited that it's worse than everything. So I turned the TV and there is this Nat Geo program, and it's so amazing. And I said, God, I think I would like to complement, I mean, my talk, because it could be a little bit arid, and I always want to be, I mean, having something that we can relate. I mean, I feel sometimes that these principles are so big, so wide, that I get overwhelmed. I mean, it's too much to my little head. So I sat there, and there's a program, I forgot what it says, Wild Spaces or something like that, and talking about Death Valley. And Death Valley, it's a park that is absolutely desertic, and that's why it's the Death Valley. But it's the size of Connecticut. So these guys, I mean, there is a park ranger that is going to retire, and he goes and visits the park because he has been doing that for 30 years. And the first thing, I mean, they see, I mean, well, first of all, it can be 7,000 feet in altitude because it has mountains with perennial snow. So, and then, I mean, you go until, when you go down 20 feet below sea level, you can be 134 degrees hot. And it's supposed to be the hottest place in Earth. So, they go and they see that, I mean, there is this, there's even life there. There is some scorpions and everything like that. I mean, that they and some lizards or something that they come alive. But the incredible thing is that they say that there is only 15,000 different kinds species of scorpion. So, it's scorpion, 50,000 divine ideas. Wow.
<That's>
So. I mean, I'm just talking one, okay? Because we know, I mean, the divine ideas, I mean, how they say, well, talk about fishes or flowers or seeds or, I mean, rocks or whatever you talk about it. So, well, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about it. But anyhow, after that one, there is another program. It's called the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. Well, these islands are the ones that, I mean, these... There's supposed to be a volcanic thing, and it pops out, and I mean, it creates a little island, and then another, and then another. They are in the middle of the Pacific, okay? But the good thing is that the nearest something is 31,000 miles to LA and 32,000 miles to Tokyo. So they're in the middle of nowhere, okay? If you want to go to Honolulu, you have to take, I mean, a ship or something, and it takes you 3 days to go to the northwest Hawaiian Islands. But there are 7,000 different species of fish that only live there. They don't live anywhere else in the world. And so they declare that this is national park. Now, this national park that the U.S. has, we have, it's only 46 states big, this national park. It's as big as that. And these Hawaiian people, they love these islands, they knew about these islands, and they have a chant that is called the chant of creation. It's called Papahana Onokia. And they started, and they sing, whatever they sing in Hawaiian. And they are describing, I mean, they're describing the species they know. They're naming it. It's called the chant of creation. And it's not written anywhere. It's oral tradition. And they go from generation to generation to generation. Now, Death Valley is also a national park. And as I told you, I mean, the size of Connecticut. But listen to this. This is a divine idea. I've never heard about it. This is what makes it so incredible. There's a little thing called Eureka Dunes. Eureka Dunes. Well, those dunes sing. I mean, they're dunes like the Sahara, okay?
And then suddenly you're there, and then you hear the dunes singing. I says, excuse me?
Peter, could you spell that word?
Eureka dunes, okay. And then they sing. So, and then, I mean, you see them. You see the dunes like the Hot Sahara, and then it says... It's like an ohm. My hair, 2 o'clock in the morning, okay? My hair is like this. I've never heard that. This is a chant of creation. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, and then they explain to you why they sing. Because it comes from the dunes. So they go and put his little, you know, these scientists that I love them. They're so intelligent. They put little, I mean, things, and I mean, they the sound things, and they try to produce the sound, and nothing is happening, so they tap into it, and nothing. Finally, they discover that when a windstorm comes and says, forget about the sound. It's not in your hair or in your clothes or anything. It's in your eyes, in your tongue, in your everywhere. 75 mile per hour wind. And that's when they hear it. So the universe had to provide for them to hear them. And what they saw is that when the wind blows, the crests of the dunes change. And it produces like an avalanche of sand. And the avalanche of sand starts the sound. So they say, well, let's create an avalanche of sand. And they do, and then, I mean, there's about 6 scientists, they go in the crest, and they, it's like snowboarding, but with no snowboarding. So they go down, and they push with their feet, I mean, everything, and they hear the sound. And it sounds. So what happens is that this is a crest, and the sand is very dry. And under, there is wet sand. So the dry sand, when it rolls, it produces waves. And the amazing thing is that it says, it sounds like a violin or a cello, I mean a very low violin. You can tell me the sounds can be a G, an E, or an F. I don't know your things, I mean, in English, but never mind. But it's absolutely amazing. So the thicker the sand is in the top, the louder the note. Well, the program goes off, and you know something that says, well, let me tell you one thing. There's another amazing thing in this Death Valley. There's another rip in the Earth crust. You know that we have one in the Pacific, and there is this ring, I mean, and it opens, the Earth continues to open and reveal itself. Well, there is one also in Death Valley that grows 1 inch at a time. There's not enough sediment that can cover the hole, so... I didn't know that, but it seems that the Earth is growing 2 sides, okay? And so the sediments cannot fill the gap and everything. And so they discovered that there is a... Unfortunately, I didn't have the name, but I think it's called... the lowest point that is almost 20 feet below sea level. There's a valley. I didn't take the name of that one. But it's the hottest and everything like that. And guess what? There's a funny thing that, because it has like kind of rivers over there. There's even some boulders that, I mean, the best, something like they weigh something like 7 tons, and they have moved. So, and you can see that, like when you push a rock, you can see the waves, and you can see it even from the earth. I mean, how the rocks are moving. So they decide, well, maybe there is water. But it cannot be water here. Well, guess what? There is water. And there is enough water that it's even bigger than the park that is under the desert. So they go and said, well, they found some caves, and they go and scuba dive in there. The water is perfectly clear. And let me tell you, I forgot about that thing. It's called... don't remember, but the thing is, the water when it goes through the desert, it's so hot and everything that it condensates, and what really when it goes up the cross, I mean it solidifies in salt. Okay. 7 times more salty than the ocean. So when they go to the cave, I mean they discover these incredible resonites, crystals that I've never seen. They're like spiky crystals. I mean, amazing. So and they go there and they discover that there are some microorganisms living in the caves that they don't need sunlight. And I said, another divine idea. The crystals are another divine idea. Great. And so they go to another place. It's called Devil's Hole. And there are some caves that are, the depth of the water has never been measured to this date. But the caves go 150 meters behind the level. And there is some fish. They call devil pot fish there. They're blue, tiny little thing, little fishes, navy blue, amazing, that they live in those caves. I says, God, another divine idea. Another divine idea. And the program ends that says Death Valley is not such a thing. Death Valley is a life valley. Mm-hmm. It was so amazing. So what I want you to do is, after the break, we're going to have a short one. What I want you to do, you to have an experience of this, a personal experience, and either you can do your own papa or no. Wait a minute, I will tell you how it's named. Papa or no. Papa Hanna or no Okia. That's your chant of creation. Because you can enumerate everything that you know about creation. And that's your own, and that's going to be so expansive. Or you can think about this creation in your own life. So I think it's going to work out beautiful. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are we going to do that in small groups, or are we going to...